You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show with your host, Brian Callen.
All right, everybody, this is The Brian Callen Show. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. You've heard me talk about this before. It's a very good company. It's the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or not so professional website. It's a free country. If you want to make a sloppy website, you can do that too, okay? You can also make an online portfolio. And here's the good news. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code Callen. We got Dave Asprey in the house and the famous Jimmy Burke. You guys have heard his name on the Joe Rogan podcast because he's both mine and Joe Rogan's favorite person. The most colorful New Yorker. We call Jimmy Burke the national treasure. And Jimmy Burke and I are here to pick Dave Asprey's brain because Dave is, he's got a website called The Bulletproof Executive. And basically has biohacked his body. And we're gonna get into all these details and questions about how to live longer. I think you're doing a longevity seminar.
I am. Next week, I'm speaking at the Longevity Now conference down in LA. About 1,500 people showing up to learn about living a long time.
Right. Now, one of the things, the first way Joe told me about your coffee, and you've talked about this a lot, but basically I've heard it in a lot of other places. The way coffee's packaged a lot of times creates mold. You believe that the coffee crash, people drink coffee and then they get a crash. That has more to do with the actual mold you're ingesting because it's toxic than it does the overload of caffeine in your adrenals, whatever.
It's not just me. The European government, the EU, and most of the governments in Asia have put standards in place, 5 parts per billion for just one of the toxins that's in mold. The US doesn't have standards, so we know where all the bad coffee in the world is going to go, where it's legal to sell it because they cannot sell it legally in Europe.
Now, is that coffee like Starbucks, do you think?
Well, it's not to pick on Starbucks. I mean, there's all kinds of large coffee companies. They're buying what's available at these giant coffee warehouses that comes from, you know, millions of different places. It's all consolidated. It's stored under different conditions. It's shipped under different conditions. It's processed different ways. They mix it up to make it taste good.
Yep.
Right. Well,
makes sense to me, dude. Yeah. I have no doubt about it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I didn't do the studies that say mold toxins are bad for you. There's about a gazillion of those on the internet. And in fact, I'm compiling a bunch of them right now that are specific to the ones that are most common in coffee. But there's a bunch of other ones that appear sometimes that don't appear other times. And they cause differences in how you think and how you feel. And these chronic tiredness, chronic autoimmune conditions, a lot of those can be traced back to mold toxins, not just in coffee, in all agricultural products. You know, dried fruit has problems. Lots of them do. I just found that if you're relying on coffee to feel good, and it has this little bit of kryptonite in it, that for me, it really screws me up because I'm kind of a canary that way. I used to weigh 300 pounds and all that. So my immune system isn't exactly the strongest on earth. And since I feel it, I'm like, wait, maybe I can test this. And I just want coffee that makes me feel great. And I tested it on people and they're like, there's a difference. And then we actually did like little executive function cognitive profiles on people. Said just when they're drinking coffee brewed with my beans versus coffee from a major national chain, I won't pick on anyone in particular, that there were quantifiable, very largely quantifiable differences in things like working memory and things like response time, finger tap time, and other variables of cognitive function. So I feel it. I've got doctors who are actually carrying this in their practice for people saying, if you're going to drink coffee, which has some very significant benefits for you, you might as well not get the dose of
does coffee. I mean, how do you feel about caffeine? In moderation, I've never read anything that bad about it. It's actually pretty good for you.
Caffeine's a performance-enhancing substance. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with it. In high doses, it can mess you up. But it's like a listed substance. You have too much caffeine in your drugs in some races, and you're out.
Right.
In your drugs and your drug tests.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Hmm. What is the newest? I mean, there's no question that, you know, Jimmy just had a fake hip put in his body and he feels great. My buddy just had his ACL repaired. We know all about human growth hormone and testosterone, but we are getting to a point where this stuff, and in fact, I think in Japan, they just were able to take skin cells, put them in an acidic solution, and they can be essentially biohacked to become any kind of a stem cell you want.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're already using it with macular degeneration and eyes and stuff. And so this is already in trials in Japan. We are obviously, and we've talked about this before, at the forefront of a whole new medical frontier from biotechnology, nanotechnology, biocompatible materials, et cetera, et cetera. Can you hip us on what to look forward to Dr. Asprey. I mean, I know you're into this stuff. For example, what are you going to be talking about with this longevity seminar?
At the longevity seminar, I'm talking about some of the basic things behind epigenetics. And epigenetics is the science of how the environment changes your gene expression, even in ways that are inheritable. In my first book, it's one I haven't talked about so much on Joe's show. My first book's about what do you do before and during pregnancy, both for the men and the women, so that your kids can have better gene expression. So they'll be healthier and they'll be stronger and their brains will work better and they'll be less likely to get autism and stuff like that. This is what I did for my own kids because, I mean, I had the symptoms of Asperger's. I've been diagnosed with ADHD.
That's great.
I don't have that going on anymore, but... You know, literally, I was like, my kids are going to get this. Like, I don't want to curse them with that. It's enough to deal with it. So that was my motivation, and I just decided to write it all down. There's 1,300 references backing that book. So at David Wolf's seminar, I'm going to be talking – that's the longevity conference. I'm going to be talking about what are the factors in the environment that change gene expression, and one of the biggest ones is stress. Like, it doesn't matter if it's, like – stress that comes from not sleeping right, stress that comes from eating the wrong stuff, stress that comes from working out too much, stress that comes from eating food you're allergic to, stress that comes from your boss or your spouse or whatever else. Right. Not that either of you have that problem, of course.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Stress is...
What is stress, by the way?
Exactly. Man, your voice is so relaxed, Jim.
Well, it's not stressed.
Wow. I'm getting horny suddenly.
Well, that happens.
But you're so creepy. But stress is just a way of life. I mean, I think that part of learning how to deal with it for me is, and I think I've gotten pretty good at it, the minute I start feeling stressful, it's useless energy, and I just I refocus my brain and my mind towards something creative, and it's very helpful.
You can channel your stress, right? You can make stress into something healthy, and I'm not opposed to stress. You don't grow without stress. In fact, if we weren't stressed, we'd be really bored.
Yeah, it's part of evolution.
Yeah.
You need stress. Yeah.
But if you could apply your stress to creativity, or you could apply it to creating inflammation in the body in response to something you ate that you're allergic to. I'd rather trigger mine towards that creativity side of things.
Right? What about inflammation? There's very strong and heavy science on inflammation being the source of so much of so many of our problems.
Heart disease especially. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the core things. It's something I look at in my own numbers, and it's something when I'm working with one of my coaching clients, we look at before 6 weeks on a low inflammation diet like the Bulletproof diet, that's designed for that. And then in 6 weeks, like their homocysteine, which is a great marker of inflammation, it drops dramatically. And then their C-reactive protein, another one, drops dramatically. And triglycerides drop, which aren't really a marker of inflammation. They're just a marker of lots of fat.
Even though you're having people eat a high-fat diet.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because there's another doctor who was talking about how he treats cancer as a metabolic disease in terms of when you bring their protein levels down and their fat intakes up. I don't know what his clinical trials are, but there is evidence to suggest that it actually helps in starving a tumor, or at least reversing its growth. So there's a word for it, but basically a high fat
a ketogenic diet.
Yes, a ketogenic diet. So thank you, Dave Asprey. He's really good with all the terminology.
The Bulletproof diet is a cyclical ketogenic diet. So what that means is you eat a high-fat, low-carb diet for a few days, you get yourself into fat-burning mode, and you feel really good. You get laser mental focus when you do that. And then I cheat because I'm a biohacker. I'm actually quite lazy about these things. I use the Brain Octane Oil. This is a 4% extract of coconut oil that goes to ketones fastest. So I can go into ketosis faster. I put it in my Bulletproof coffee. Right, so it's grass-fed butter, the upgraded coffee beans, and brain octane oil. You blend it and you drink it, and literally, I've seen this. It doesn't happen every time, but I use a blood ketone meter. And if you're above 0.6...
What is a ketone? A
ketone is basically the type of fat that you can burn in your mitochondria to make energy. You can either burn glucose or you can burn ketones. And the cool thing is...
Fatty acids, basically.
Fatty acids, there's lots of them. But when fatty acids are ready to be turned into energy, they're ketones. It's like basically a late stage of metabolizing fatty acids.
It's what happens to diabetics a lot when they, you know, when they're not burning and they have ketosis and they, you know, my old girlfriend used to get that. And it was a problem.
It's bad for diabetics when they're in a state of acidosis that comes with it. For the rest of us, it is an anti-cancer state to be in. And there's lots of studies around ketosis and cancer just as a general, like, do you want to do this? And the reason is pretty obvious. Cancer cells have 28 times more insulin receptors than normal cells. So you eat sugar, it's absolutely cancer fuel. It just is. And if you don't have cancer cells and you eat some sugar, it'll cause some other metabolic irregularities and some dopamine things in your head, and it tastes good.
Well, there's no question. Let's just establish this. Anybody who tells you that sugar is good for you, that high fructose corn syrup is, I mean, Robert Lustig, who's a doctor and endocrinologist mm-hmm. over at Cornell University. It's an hour and a half lecture, and basically, and a very smart guy, but basically says, I'm going to tell you that sugar and especially fructose, high fructose corn syrup, is not only bad for you, it's actually toxic for your children. And Coca-Cola and Pepsi and those companies that peddle this stuff are putting children in a metabolic disease, into a metabolic disease state, or whatever you want to call it, diabetes, etc. I mean, am I right about that? I mean,
you would
agree with that.
That's why on the Bulletproof Diet, I tell people total fructose per day under 25 grams. And people, what? That's not very much. Well, it's not very much.
How much is that? What is that?
It's basically a piece of fruit.
Okay.
So it, or you know, a little bit of honey. And here's the thing. Fructose goes into your liver, not like other sugars. It gets shunted there just like any other toxin. And your liver starts to process that, which, by the way, causes food cravings. That's why you eat an apple alone for breakfast. You're going to be dying in 2 hours for something else. Because your liver's like, can I have some fuel to get rid of this crap you just put in here?
Mm.
So now we take that fructose and your liver says, what do I do with it? It turns it into triglycerides and it turns it into uric acid, which is tied to gout. So you take these poor kids, they're not getting very good metabolic fuel. You're whacking their livers, you're raising their triglycerides, which is a marker of poor health. And when you cut the fructose and you cut the omega-6, like these plant oils, down, suddenly people's triglycerides go from 300 to like 40. And having low triglycerides in that range under 100 is really good for you. So mine tend to be around 60 to 80.
So you want to keep your triglycerides lower, which is really fat in your blood.
Yep.
And the way to do that is to stay away from sugars.
Yes, and
obviously
grains.
Sugar and grain. But don't tell me that about rice, because most of the world eats rice. And by the way, people live forever on rice. So
you know,
how do you feel about rice? I love that you told me brown rice, no. White rice, yes. And dude, I eat rice, white rice ever since we had that conversation. I only eat white rice.
Are you happy about that? Like, it feels good to eat white rice.
Yes.
Brown rice is less satisfying. It makes you hungrier. And it's got irritating fiber in it and anti-nutrients in the outer layer of it. And it's why every culture that eats rice, the people who can afford to eat the white rice, and the very lowest peasants who can't afford to scrape the bad parts off the rice, they eat it because it's better than starving to death.
There you go. Only in America do we make brown rice healthy for you.
Like, pay an extra buck for that? Are you kidding
me? But you're a fan of rice.
I'm a fan of rice, especially in the evening. If you're going to have carbs, which you should have carbs sometimes, especially if you're like a heavy workout kind of guy. If you're doing CrossFit, you might want to have some carbs every night. You can still stay in ketosis with under 100 grams of carbs, depending on your workout load and who you
are. What is 100 grams?
That's a couple – I don't want to say a couple cups. I'd have to measure it, but it's like a cup and a half to 2 cups of white rice. It's a reasonable amount. Some people, only 25 grams of carbs is going to take them out of ketosis. It's really a question
depends on
of your
body.
Metabolism. And also, like, what are you doing with your body, right?
Right.
So I would say, enjoy white rice, sweet potatoes. Those are the two that I prefer. And that's a pretty classical paleo thing. A lot of paleo guys, no white rice, but sweet potatoes, white rice, I don't really care. Those are the sources of carbs with the fewest anti-nutrients in them. And this is a big part of the recommendations that I've developed, is that it's a question of like how much of the right kinds of fat and protein and starches are you eating? That's the first thing. You got to get that right. Next up, how much poison was in those that was naturally there to keep you from eating them? Because if you're a plant, you actually don't want to get eaten. You want to stop animals from eating you. So you develop chemicals and all to keep bugs and mold and big animals from eating you.
Well, this was something else that I thought was really interesting that you said, and I've thought about since. You were saying, you know, people like to eat a lot of spinach, or they juice raw vegetables, a lot of raw greens. And what they don't realize is that plants, especially big leafy plants, will be devoured by insects. So they have to create their own toxins to keep those insects away. But those toxins can also be somewhat toxic to people. So you're taxing your kidneys when you eat a whole bunch of spinach and kale and things like that, right?
I was kind of sad. Kale is caught on as like the new bacon or something, except it doesn't taste anything like bacon.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
You said it. I'm not a giant fan of raw kale, and I used to eat a lot of it. I was a raw vegan for a while. Like, I juice everything. I have a big juicer, blenders, and, you know, all that stuff. It takes 2 hours a day to be a raw vegan.
That's true. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. The problem is that I developed some more food allergies when I was a vegan, and I've got dozens of former vegans, including some who've written lots of vegan cookbooks and all, and some who've been guests on my radio show, and they're all having the same thing. I got cold, I got tired, my thyroid stopped working from all the anti-nutrients.
I've heard that a lot. My thyroid shot down.
Yeah. So it's easy with kale. You can still eat it. It's still good for you. You do what your grandma did. You boil it and you dump the water, which contains most of the oxalic acid. And if you want to be like extra biohackery about it, you add some calcium, which will bind to the oxalic acid, which means you can poop it out. If you allow it to enter your bloodstream, it'll bind with calcium in your blood, and it'll form tiny crystals in your body that lead to things like painful sex in women. like literally you can get these little crystals in your vagina. And when that happens, it is really painful, even just to wear underwear. And
wow. I got to keep them out of my vagina.
Yeah.
I love kale. I mean, I saute it.
Cook it. There you go.
I saute it, and then I put a little salt and pepper on it. And
isn't
it
funny,
delicious.
Though, Dave, that when you talk this way, most cultures have always cooked their vegetables, and it's only in America that we're eating them raw.
Yeah, why are they eating it raw?
Because
it's horrible.
Because we get caught up on one dude.
Wait a minute, who's
writes
eating
a book.
It, who's
one guy who's not
raw?
A doctor writes a book.
Tons of people.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and dude. The salad we had today.
Yeah.
The salad we had today was raw kale.
You know,
we ate raw kale today.
And it's possible to make it taste good.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
That was raw kale.
But they did make it taste pretty good,
though. It tastes good, but it was...
But it was with a lot of other vegetables.
So you're saying there's nothing wrong with green vegetables like broccoli.
They're great for
you. Cook them.
Yeah. Cook them.
Okay.
And like the kale smoothie in the morning, it actually tastes pretty good. When you put kale in a blender with a bunch of other stuff, you can get it into your body, and you're getting the K2 and the nutrients from it. So I'm not opposed to kale. It's just that if you're going to do that on an every morning basis, you'll build up this oxalic acid level, and you'll feel it in muscle weakness and other things. So like, I'm not at all bothered by that. But like, if you're going to do the kale, consider adding that stuff to the hot kale after you cook it and make like a soup out of the kale instead of a cold smoothie.
Right.
It's just a small tweak, but it's a tweak that will, over the course of 2 years of eating kale, can save your thyroid and can save you from other things that make you weak. And the whole point of the recommendations that I have is that there's lots of small behaviors that cause weakness that isn't readily apparent because it doesn't happen 5 minutes later. It happens 2 days later or 2 years later. So we try and look at science and we try and say, all right, based on everything we know and our understanding of mechanisms, let's make small tweaks that just keep problems from happening later. And that's a fundamentally sound approach to anti-aging.
Sure.
It's an approach to health. But it's better yet, it's an approach to high performance.
So again, white rice, potatoes. You love grass-fed beef. I have some grass-fed deer because I shot 2 deer with Joe Rogan and I love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I should have brought you some. Should have brought you some.
I would have loved that.
Oh, I should have brought anyway. But and I love it, and I get energy from it.
Yeah.
And butter. Ever since you talked about butter, I love. I mean, I'll eat bacon. I eat butter. I slather it on my stuff. And
bacon's,
and guess what? I never feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have energy all day, especially when I'm working out. When I take in a lot of, how about coconut oil? You're a big fan.
It's great. Yeah, I love it.
You've got your MTC.
I've got MCT, and then I've got brain octane, which is even more concentrated than MCT. And I've honestly, in my own home, I've switched almost exclusively to brain octane. It just has a stronger kick in the brain.
But isn't there the school that when you take, like, say you take coconut butter, which I use coconut oil.
Yeah.
And then you reduce it, the reductionist notion of like, it's kind of like instead of eating orange, you take ascorbic acid.
Yeah.
Don't you worry a little bit sometimes that maybe you're messing with Mother Nature and there are other things in that coconut butter that might act as conduits and catalysts and things like that for it? I mean, I know you've taken all this stuff into account.
I don't worry too much about that because I also eat coconut oil.
Right.
The problem is to get a tablespoon of brain octane, I have to eat 18 tablespoons of coconut oil, and that would make me get disaster pants. Yeah. You don't want that.
Yeah,
right?
That's a problem.
Given that whole exchange there, I think it's totally normal and healthy to concentrate your food. And it's not like we haven't been doing this for a gazillion years. It's called like making stock. Like, why do you boil the bones and all this? Like, aren't you artificially concentrating it?
You're right.
Actually, you are. We just have better technologies to do it today. And also, like, Mother Nature, I don't live in Mother Nature. Like, we're sitting here in a studio. I have no idea what's in the foam that I'm breathing. I have no idea what I, got on the airplane flying down here to LA. So I don't live in a natural world anymore.
Right.
And my body, at a cellular level, knows that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to support my cells to live in a completely unnatural environment. And why do I think natural food alone, without help, is going to help my body live in an unnatural environment? I actually don't think it does.
When should you stop eating before you go to bed? How many hours should you give yourself?
It depends what you're eating, but at least 2 hours is a good idea.
Okay.
And sometimes I work with these CEO types and some athletes on sleep problems, and it's part of what I do with coaching. Some people completely change their lives by taking raw honey. It's one of the few times I recommend raw honey. And you can take about a tablespoon, sometimes even up to two of them, before bed.
Somebody told me that raw honey, and I eat it, doesn't raise your blood sugar, but it does.
It totally raises your blood sugar.
Okay. Yeah.
It's full of fructose. It raises triglycerides too.
Okay.
But what it does that's cool is if you take it on a relatively empty stomach, not right after the meal, it'll stabilize your blood glucose for 6, maybe even 8 hours. And it does it by going into glycogen in your liver. Glycogen is how your body stores carbs. You can store it in your muscles or in your liver. Liver glycogen preferentially goes to the brain. So what you're doing when you're sleeping is you're letting the brain reset itself. You're draining the fluid in your brain, literally, in your glymphatic system, and then you're replacing it. And you're doing a lot of other repair and maintenance and memory consolidation, so you want energy there. So if you use the honey to put the energy in the liver, it goes from the liver to the brain, and then you have a better night's sleep. Other people, it trashes their sleep. So
oh, really?
You got to test it.
Because right? I drink one glass of red wine, I'm fucked. Yeah. I can't sleep.
Yeah, me too.
Why is that? Is that just the sugar in the wine?
Or? I don't think that's likely the sugar. It's likely a stress response.
Oh, okay.
And when you drink alcohol, the first thing that happens, again, in the liver this time, is that it turns to something called aldehyde. And aldehyde is the most toxic byproduct of alcohol. This is what causes advanced glycation end products, aging of the tissues, like a browning of the protein in your
Does Dave bones. Asprey know his stuff, by the way?
Mm-hmm. That's why going. I'm being is very
he,
quiet.
Is
listening.
He detailed or what? Yeah, Keep going.
I love this stuff. Like, knowing this has made me, it's transformed me. I'm 100 pounds lighter than I used to
You look good, dude. We were just talking. He's a big, muscular guy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But keep going.
So this
it looks like Ryan Lochte. He's built like Ryan
the
Lochte.
The swimmer?
Yes.
Yes, he
He's
is.
He's wide-shouldered,
you know
long-limbed.
What? He's built like an Olympic swimmer. It was said on the Brian Callen show, Dave Asprey's built like an Olympic swimmer. I'm actually jealous of his bone structure. He can kiss my ass. I work out all the time. Guy walks in. What are you, about 6'2"?
6'4".
6'4", yeah.
That's
about
what I'm saying.
Just a trim 205, just big boned.
Dude, I'm 229 right
now.
Well, because it's all, 229, and you don't even lift, and you look like a freaking swimmer. All right, keep going.
That's a major compliment, because I spent most of my life looking more like an orca.
Really?
Big,
strong guy.
I'm pretty stoked on that.
Big, strong guy. All right, keep going.
So this alcohol breaks down your liver to aldehyde. And aldehyde causes a stress response. Your body's like, I got to get rid of this. And then it calls out your sugar. So it drops your blood sugar, actually. Mm. And then you're like, I'll have more alcohol so I can get more blood sugar. So you end up dropping blood sugar, which causes a stress response. That could be why your cortisol goes up when your stress response happened. That could be part of it. The other thing is, depending on what kind of wine, where it was made, how late in season the grapes were picked, and all these other
mold.
Things. Mold. I don't think everything's caused by mold by a long shot, but I'll tell you, okra toxins, which are one of the toxins I test for in the upgraded coffee, they're a major problem in wine, and it's a known problem. If you Google wine okra toxin, you'll find like a gazillion. How
it's
many,
a problem.
It's like tens of thousands of
you
studies.
You can smell
on
it on wine sometimes.
Yeah.
And by the way, you pay a lot of money to smell it sometimes.
You know, you open that bottle.
The old French wines, you know. Yeah, that's interesting. So it's more of a stress response.
Here's a test for you. You can take some coconut charcoal, and in fact, I'll send you a bottle, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to sell my stuff. I just make it because I use it.
No, you can do it.
It's a form of extra small activated charcoal, and it comes only from coconuts, and you take the stuff, and it binds preferentially to the toxins that form in wine. So my recommendations for hangover prevention is if you're going to drink red wine, which is pretty much a hangover-causing alcohol, I'm sorry about that. I like the taste too. But if you do that, take the charcoal with it, and it'll bind to a lot of those things that are causing the hangover and causing the crash.
Wow.
And you can actually weather the wine much better.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Please.
So you put it in
please
your,
send me that.
No, it's a capsule. Just a little
just put it in
capsule.
Your wine.
Just swallow it.
Oh, swallow it.
If you put it in your wine, it'll absorb some of the flavor, and it'll be kind of gritty. It's the same stuff that's basically in your Brita filter, but a much higher grade, finer particle.
Huh.
And the Brita stuff, I don't think, is all coconut or anything like that. So,
right. And they're hard to swallow, those Brita filters.
Yeah, they are. Hard.
Exactly.
They give you charcoal when you poisoned yourself, and you'll throw it up, right? I mean, that's what they do with dogs and stuff.
In fact, the stuff they do in the hospital, if you called them, so I took a bunch of pills, they would pump charcoal into your stomach. It makes this giant mess everywhere. It's horrible to put in capsules, but we finally figured out a way. For the ultra fine stuff, they don't even use the grade that I use in ERs. They use the stuff that I reject in the emergency room, but they use a lot of it. They put a tube in and like stick it down your throat. And it'll absorb almost everything in your stomach if you take enough of it.
Wow.
But it has a charge, a strong negative charge that makes it attract the positively charged toxins that are in the wine.
Hmm.
So it's a neat hack. And you can do other things like glutathione or even just vitamin C. So I think for you, though, if you want to know if it's the mold or not the mold in the wine, try the charcoal. And if you're like, wow, I slept after that, then you know. Like your body was responding with stress. Funny enough, it's the same thing in coffee. You drink coffee that has mold, you're not going to smell it. You're not going to taste it. It tastes like coffee. We're talking 5 parts per billion just for okra toxin, which is like one of the other 24 other things I'm testing for, plus 2 more. So you take that and you drink the coffee and you're like, wow, I got the caffeine. I feel great. And then a little while later, you're like, ugh, like
I got a drop in energy.
Yeah, and I got anxiety, like the feeling in your chest.
Yes.
That's what it is. Like I'm so sure of this, and everything I know in science tells me that's what it is, and I feel it, and other people feel it. So like
Does tea have mold?
Not very often. Some of the pu'er tea, the aged tea, can have it. And tea is pretty good for you. Black tea tends to be more risky because of the way it's fermented.
Right.
But green tea is overall pretty darn good for you. Too much of it, you'll get fluoride, which slows down thyroid. And you can also deplete your folic acid levels. You know, people who drink 10 cups of tea a day or something, they need to supplement folic acid and iodine in order to counteract that. But I take green tea extract. I think it's great for you.
What about you know, what the heck was I going to ask you about? So sleep, you find people basically need between 7 and 8 hours depending on your.
It's kind of funny. No, I don't think most of them need 7 or 8 hours of sleep. Historically, we don't have great evidence for that. In fact, we think people used to wake up for an hour or two in the middle of the night.
Second sleep.
Yeah, like that's pray and have sex and things like that.
Yeah.
And there's a study, one I referenced on the Bulletproof Executive site, of 1.2 million people. They followed for quite a while, and they looked at how many hours they slept and how long they lived. And the data came about in the late 80s, and it was so much data that they didn't have computers to crunch it. So a couple of years ago, someone finally said, let's put the data in the cloud and let's see what happens. And what they found is people who sleep 6.5 hours a night live longest. That's not to say you'll live longer if you sleep less. What that says is people who are in good health sleep less because they don't need the sleep.
They need less.
Right. People who sleep 9 hours die more than people who sleep 8.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I bet you it's because they need the sleep to get rid of the toxins in their bodies.
It's because they're basically a little bit sick and they're chronically unwell. Right.
But how many people do you know? You see this constantly with people who, are always a little bit sick. I mean,
it was my whole life. It really was. It drove me insane.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I spent $300,000 and biohacked myself. I couldn't stand it anymore. I was on sinus infections all the time. Like for 15 years, I was on antibiotics like once a month.
Jesus. Wow.
I almost had
that. What about acidophilus? What do you think of that?
I think it's a double-edged sword. It's such a common thing to talk about because it's in yogurt. Just like calcium's in milk. Calcium is good. Yeah. Too much calcium also causes calcification in your arteries. The right amount of calcium versus magnesium matters. With acidophilus, there's two big categories of gut bacteria. There's Bacteroidetes and there's Firmicutes. Now, there's some studies that are interesting. Fat people have too many Firmicutes and not enough Bacteroidetes. I'm probably saying that word wrong. I read it all the time. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
You're
saying it exactly
your
right.
Your ability to come up with your ability. Yeah. He actually authored the paper you're talking about. Keep going. Jimmy Burke. When he's not doing
nice
it, he authors papers on Firmicutes.
Firmicutes. And DTDTs.
Oh, it's the DTDTs.
Yeah. Anyhow, there's these two things. And if you want to simplify it, there's fat people bacteria and thin people bacteria. Yeah. And if you take the bacteria from fat people and you give them to thin people, they get fat. Take the bacteria from thin people, give them to fat people, they get thin.
Thus taking the stool from a skinny person and actually putting it into the ass of a fat person, they actually do that now.
Totally they do.
Yeah. And it actually helps because it changes their bacterial count and the colonies.
Well, the microbes in their gut.
You can fix some autoimmune conditions with a fecal transplant. It's kind of gross. It's not on my short list.
A husband did it with his wife in the science section, and the wife was dying.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure it out. And then one doctor said, wait a minute, and they took the husband's fecal matter, small amount, and put it in to his wife. And they were watching her die. She was slipping away. And just a small amount. And she got, it put in balance the microbes in her gut.
The scientists are all now looking at bacteria's role on the body and how to harness the good versus the bad, and like the way you deal with a habitat in danger.
Are a microbe habitat anyway. Yes. I mean, that's all we are. We're just the landing craft for them.
But check out what Acidophilus does, though. Acidophilus is one of the fat people bacteria. Now, I'm not saying it's bad for you. There's lots of studies that say Acidophilus can really be beneficial against Clostridium and other things in the gut. So you want to have some of it. But if you're only supplementing that, or you're supplementing the wrong species for your gut biome, it can give you histamine problems, like give you allergies, it can give you hives. So I'm one of those people where if I have the wrong gut stuff, I don't do well at all. And I did this test. I'm like, well, I'm going to try taking some prebiotic, which is fiber that they like. And I'll take a common brand of Acidophilus. So I did that, and I gained 10 pounds in a week, and it wasn't good pounds.
Wow.
And it's because this stuff causes inflammation in the gut for me. Now, for someone else, that might have been good, but to blindly say Acidophilus is good for you, I'll tell you, Acidophilus is a Firmicutes. It's one of the class of things that can contribute to weight gain. Mm. And there's no way to buy Bacteroidetes. There is a way to feed them, though. You know what they like?
What?
They like phenols. The common sources of phenols in our diet are...
coffee?
Number...
Oh,
How did you know? Coffee, dark chocolate, and red wine.
Guys, quick interruption. We'll get right back to the show. I just have to say that this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or not-so-professional website. You can get sloppy if you want. It's a free country. Isn't that what I always say? But here's the good news. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code CALLEN, C-A-L-L-E-N. And let me just tell you very quickly a couple things. You can start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website right now. You can, when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, remember to put in the offer code of CALLEN, get 10% off. And by the way, very quickly, I think this, I appreciate this. You get 24/7 support. They have a team, and usually they do live chat during the week and very, very fast email support throughout the day and night. It's pretty cool. So there it is. And now back to the show.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I like them all.
Yep.
Coffee, so you dark chocolate.
Mix them together into like a wine smoothie. Okay, don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a friend. You like dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's also one of those things that tends, because we ferment it in weird tropical climates, it tends to also have mold problems, actually worse than coffee.
Wow.
So I'm pretty picky about my chocolate. Again, European standards are better than American. Eat the European chocolates. I make a chocolate powder and chocolate-covered coffee beans that are, you know, upgraded coffee beans that are tested for toxins. Those things are like addictive. I eat them on airplanes instead of food.
And then you can get that at bulletproofexecutive.com.
Yeah, we have to talk about that because, as you know,
well, you're gonna. He's a chocolate freak.
I'm addicted to chocolate.
What should we get when you go to get tested? So we go. I'll go to, for a checkup at a doctor, which I think is pretty useless. I mean, I mean, to the extent my blood pressure, they test my vitamin levels in my blood, I guess, and my blood work. Whatever blood work means, they test my blood work.
Yeah.
They give me a very crude and rudimentary reading of my cholesterol, which is usually my high-density lipoprotein versus my low-density lipoprotein.
Relatively useless.
They don't look at the size of the molecules and the blah, blah, blah. And so thanks a lot, Doc. That's great. I got a clean bill of health. There's another way of looking at it, and you're one of the guys who would recommend a different checkup. What do we do? Where do we go? How do we do it?
I use a company called Wellness FX. Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, I'm on their advisory board.
But you're not the first person to do it. Everybody I know mentions Wellness FX.
Yeah, so I'm not. I have no significant financial interest in this, but I just don't want to be, you know, I just want to be above board. Yeah. So I like the guys. It's a really cool idea. And it's about putting power in your hands to get your own data. So you don't need a permission slip to actually see inside your blood. So you go to the website, and they have an advanced panel. It's about $1,000. It's not cheap. And that has all the main things you need in it. And what you're getting is an advanced lipid panel, so you can look at your triglyceride. And you can look at those things that your doctor probably didn't test, C-reactive protein and homocysteine. If you don't have those numbers, honestly, who gives a crap about cholesterol?
Tell me what those are.
Well, homocysteine and C-reactive protein are the two easiest to get measures of inflammation throughout your body. And they'll be high if you were injured, and they'll be high if you have problems with vascular inflammation. The other one that I particularly track is called LPPLA2. And this is a protein that forms when there's damage to the inner lining of your arteries. So if you want to know if you're going to have arterial problems, screw cholesterol, which you kind of need for your brain and to make testosterone and to have cell division and all these other things that are useful for life. But if you have LPPLA2 levels that are elevated, you know you have vascular inflammation and you better get on top of it. And we can use targeted supplements and dietary changes like avoiding gluten and sugar to do that.
Let's talk about gluten.
I love gluten.
Yeah, I love you for that.
I don't eat it, but
yeah,
I like it.
I've cut it out, too. I'm 80-20. My sister is very, very healthy, and is a chef and a nutritionist and a wellness person. Anyway, she's like, Jimmy, just go 80-20, because it's hard to cut it out completely.
Yeah.
And I don't have celiac disease or anything like that, or a leaky gut or anything. But I just have to tell you, I feel it's just, you feel cleaner.
Yeah.
You feel sharper. Mm. So I don't, I really don't eat much bread anymore. I don't eat, you know, I buy the rice bread, the gluten-free rice bread, which is nice. You know, so.
Do you eat gluten?
Not at all. I religiously avoid it. The reason is that I'm sensitive to it. I'm not celiac, but when I eat it, about 2 days later, I start losing words. I get brain inflammation.
Mm.
And this is the thing about wheat. It triggers autoimmunity to different tissues in the body, depending on who you are. And maybe it doesn't do it at all for you, but it still has other problems because it converts into gluteomorphin, which is an opiate that activates the opiate receptors in your brain. This is why it's hard to quit gluten, because it's like quitting heroin.
Yeah, man.
I'll just have one bite, and then all of a sudden, you know, 3 days doughy later, you foods. Stumble into the street,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, doughy foods, yeah. Donuts.
And women, I know a lot of women don't listen to your podcast because they're not really attracted to anything you have to say. But
hey, man!
No, it's
man,
just...
Man, come
just,
on, man!
It's just true, but it's if outrageous. There are any women out there, one of the things about women's brains, and please weigh in on this, that I have found is... Women love gluten. They love carbs more so than men, even, yeah. That I have found. Because for women, the carbs and gluten are a lot like sex. It really affects that part of their brain, you know, that kind of that accumbens part of their brain, that, you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And they're addicted to it. I know women who are... You know, who don't even drink, I'm not going to say that they're in AA, but they're in AA. And they, one of the things.
Why is it just women, though? I mean, a lot of men are addicted to sex.
There's a reason. Yeah, there is
a reason. Dave
is weighing in. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. You're confirming what I've always thought, and it's my own things. I have found that women who are sort of, if you want to use the word addicts, or in, and I know a lot of women in AA because they're great. Place to meet women.
That's so unethical, yeah. Jim.
What are you talking about?
You don't even have a problem with drinking.
I don't have a problem with
drinking.
But
you hang out with the AA things because they're vulnerable.
They're so vulnerable. You 13 step the shit out of them.
Anyway, your voice.
Yeah. You're a bad man.
He's a bad man. You're not even wearing pants, dude. Yeah, what the fuck is this?
But I have gluten in my pants.
I got Dave Asprey on my show. We're talking about health, and you're not.
I have gluten in my pants.
You're getting off on this podcast, bro.
All I'm saying is that women love. They love pasta. They love potatoes. They love potato chips.
Please don't say cock.
They love gluten. They will say Cassius King, second only to cock. So you can take that,
Grandma. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say
sorry, Grams.
I mean, there goes the podcast.
No, but really, I see that. And so, Dave, thank you. Please weigh in on women really being into gluten and loving carbs and almost being, I think, more addicted to it than men.
I would say it's more carbs than just gluten.
Right, okay.
Gluten's pretty addictive to both genders. Women are, by evolutionary necessity, more sensitive to their environment. And this is because their body, this is not a conscious behavior. This is a biological behavior at like the cellular and hormonal level. Their bodies are looking like, how much energy is there in the environment for me to have kids?
Mm.
And this isn't about, you know, women's place in the workforce or anything like that. It's the same in all animals. And so they're sensitive to changes in their diet and in the environment much more so than men. And it actually changes based on, and any woman will tell you this, based on their monthly cycle. Yeah. I'm really craving carbs today. Yeah. Like, yeah, when are you ovulating?
Yeah.
And what this comes down to is the energy balance in a woman is more delicate than it is in a man. And this is also why it's harder for women to lose weight on any diet, even like the Bulletproof diet.
Definitely.
And what their body is trying to do is to conserve enough energy and to get them to eat energy sources that'll let them put on some fat, because fat makes you more fertile to a certain extent, right?
Right.
You don't want to be obese because it's not good for you.
Yeah.
But the super lean, ripped abs kind of
looking
women.
Not good for childbearing.
No, it's
those women
harmful.
A lot of times lose their periods.
And in fact, some of the people I work with on a regular basis had that problem. They became, you know, women fitness celebrities, but they didn't work on the hormone side of things. And this is why, going back to Wellness FX, if you look at those numbers and you're working all the time, you feel really good, you're pumped, and you have this awesome body, whether you're a man or a woman, but your inflammation's off the charts and your hormones are tanking, then you need to do something about it. And one of the things you might want to do is eat more carbs. You want to eat more fat, too. And carbs and fat together aren't a great combination. But seriously, your body may need more fat and it may need more carbs, because stressed animals, including stress from working out, they burn fat preferentially. Like, they need more fat. It's a stress response. But they also like to have carbs to replenish glycogen. So you need to monitor that really carefully. And it's this fertility thing that causes those food cravings, because guys, we'll hunt for two more days and then we'll eat and we'll, you know, eat half the elephant. But women are not genetically wired to do that. And there's a difference between the genders, and it's worth noting and, you know, honoring.
And I think that's why, just to piggyback your epigenetic thing, I think that's a big thing with women too. And, you know, how things are being switched on and off for them, you know, genetically, and especially when they're, when they're pregnant and when they're having children, and how, you know, stuff is changing with them.
Well,
much
but
more
that's
so
what
than
I was
going
to ask. That's what I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask, when you get your testosterone checked, or your, I've never done any of this, but when you do those things and they give you a reading and say it's 600 or whatever, that's today. Aren't your hormones always fluctuating? I mean, is it hard to get a read?
Your testosterone's relatively stable. I mean, you can change it over the course of a couple weeks if you just switch to a bulletproof diet, eat a lot of raw egg yolks and some liver and some more steak, and all of a sudden your testosterone levels will go up and you'll feel amazing.
Well, because and I've heard that before, saturated fats are a good way to raise your testosterone.
Well, all of your hormones are made out of saturated fats. So if you cut those out, you're essentially emasculating yourself.
Mm.
And people don't know this, but graham crackers, you know the history of graham?
No.
Well, this guy was like a Puritan wacko, and mm-hmm. he designed graham crackers to lower libido because libido made people evil.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Raisin Bran, same
Kellogg.
Thing.
Yeah, Kellogg's.
Mr. Kellogg was, he's like into like mega enemas and like all this crazy
he was
stuff.
Yeah. Really weird.
Hey, he wanted to eliminate sexual drive, and he created food to do that, which is what we give our kids for breakfast.
Yeah, natural saltpeter.
That's amazing.
It's disgusting.
Cereals, sugars, and then skim milk, which is just not good for you. And you know, we've cut the fat down in our diet, and guess what? We're fatter than we ever have been. Although obesity levels, I hear, are dropping because people are cutting sugar out.
It's because they're dying. All the fat people die.
Yeah. It might be true. I mean, I do think the way we eat is madness, and the food that's available is madness.
And as a dad, man, I tell you, my four-year-old son, I would never let him have a bowl of cereal and skim milk.
Ever.
No. He
ever.
Has eggs and bacon and smoked salmon and avocados.
My son, there you go.
Yeah.
And raw milk, how do you feel about that? As long as it's taking, it's. What do you think of pasteurized milk? If it's organic grass-fed milk?
Organic grass-fed pasteurized milk is going to be a lot better for you than the non-organic industrial grain-fed milk. But it's still, when you pasteurize that protein, it tends to create an inflammatory molecule that matches a common part of your nervous system or part of your immune system. So it tends to cause autoimmunity. I think it's not a great idea. I think raw milk can be good for people, but there's tons of people who react poorly to raw milk. Like, I'm one of them. Raw milk gives me like irritated skin, like really deep pimples and gas and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've tried hacking that a lot. I can handle raw kefir, and I can handle like a few dairy products made from a certain strain of cows because they make a different shape of casein. It's very individualized, but if you test yourself, in fact, here's a free way to test yourself. You can download an app. It's called FoodSense, and I make it, but I don't charge for it. It's free. So you download it, and it gets your heart rate in the morning, and then you do it before and after you eat. So just eat only milk for a meal. And assuming you don't get up and exercise right away after the meal, it's looking at changes in your heart rate before and after each meal. And if your heart rate goes up by 16 beats per minute for an entire minute after a meal, it means that something you ate in that meal you were allergic or sensitive to. So it's an app that does it for you, and you tell it what you ate, and after a week you look back and you're like, funny, every meal that had milk in it caused my heart rate to go up.
Hmm.
It's better to just go out and spend $300 on an IgG, IgE blood test to see what foods you're sensitive to. And if it says dairy, well, then now you know.
Yeah, I cut out dairy a year and a half ago. Well, since that cruise we went on.
Yeah.
I've really cut it out almost.
And you feel
completely.
Way better. I have trouble with dairy. Not hard cheese. Not like Parmesan. I can do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe. My problem is I get psoriasis sometimes during the winter.
It's an autoimmune thing.
What's going on there? How do I get rid of that?
It's either grains or dairy or something else in your environment.
So grains or dairy, because I got to stop doing that.
It's very likely those. I've had so many people I don't know email me like, this lifelong psoriasis just went away like in a month.
Because it happened to me. I stopped doing grains and dairy.
Yeah.
Because I read about it and it went away.
Oh, there
and
you go.
It's gone away.
Yeah. It's what's
Which
going on.
Which is crazy.
Cut out the cheese, Bubba.
Yeah.
Really?
Cheese.
Okay.
Cheese eaters, you can usually see it in their face too. Like they tend to have like some like their skin isn't quite as healthy as it should be. Cheese is particularly bad because the casein in cheese concentrates the crap that was in the cow's feed. Like all cows, less so for grass fed, but all the corn ones, you know, they're eating a lot of grains and they concentrate all the naturally occurring toxins in those grains. And it goes into the casein, about 60% of it does, that goes into the cheese. And then we have like a fight on the cheese between the different microbes that make the cheese. And then they basically make chemicals to kill the other guys. That's like where penicillin and stuff comes from. And then it tastes really good, so we eat it. But those chemicals like have an effect on you too. And one of the effects for some people can be psoriasis.
Dave, do you eat cheese? I'm sorry. Do you eat
cheese? I don't eat cheese.
Yeah, okay. What about dairy in general?
I'll do butter, a ton of butter. Mm-hmm. I don't react to the small amounts of casein in there, especially cultured butter, because the casein changes a bit from culturing. So I eat Kerrygold butter, you know, by the handful. It's in Bulletproof Coffee.
By the way, another. I only use Kerrygold butter now. Although I can get from organic pastures raw butter, which is pretty
good. Their stuff is good. Organic pastures is great.
Yeah.
There's been two shortages this last year of Kerrygold butter in the U.S. Mm. Butter consumption is at a 40-year high in the U.S.
Wow.
And I like to think I played a role in that, especially the Kerrygold shortages. Yeah. So,
what about dairy in general? I mean, have you cut a lot of dairy
out? I don't do any milk except that. And there's a.
But what would you say to the French, for God's sake? I mean, they eat so much cheese. Is there any evidence that they are less healthy?
It's made them French.
There is
That's
that.
That's why they're French.
You know what?
I was going to say.
You're right, my friend. All right. Yeah, maybe the French aren't that.
That's why they're French. I don't care how long they live.
That's why there's a snooty.
Exactly. But, the contrarians.
But it seems to me, and by the way, they may not eat as much cheese, first of all, as we think they do. But let's say they do. And there are cultures that do. Is it possible that they genetically have just adapted to... For their cheese is usually raw, too.
I was going to say, cheese isn't cheese. What we eat here and call cheese is like a... It's pretty industrial product. When you go to France, like, oh, this cheese was aged in a cave with a species that's been going back for since there was barbarians here.
Right. And they're very particular. It's grass-fed, and they don't eat a lot of food to begin with and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I will say, if you eat cheese and you have no skin conditions, no autoimmune conditions, you don't test negative for casein, there are people who cheese really... really isn't kryptonite. Just 80% of people are screwed up by cheese at some level, and sometimes it's long-term inflammation. Mm. Like, oh, you get your blood levels, eliminate cheese for 6 months, and you're like, oh, my inflammation went away, and I didn't even know I had it because it was inside my body instead of in my skin or in my brain where I can feel it easily.
And is psoriasis and things like that a symptom of inflammation?
Yeah, it's a symptom of autoimmunity. So it means your body is essentially attacking something in your skin, and something's triggering that, and it's oftentimes environmental stuff, chemicals or foods. Or, sorry, not environmental food. Chemicals or molds are the two top big triggers. It can't even be metals, but not likely. And it oftentimes has to do with your gut biome. So you have the wrong bacteria growing there. That can trigger it. So then you eat something and your body's like, attack, attack. And it creates this inflammatory response. And it shows as psoriasis on your skin, or it shows as ADD behavior even.
Guys, I'm sorry for this interruption, but this is how we get paid. So I'm going to do a commercial. But it is a product I believe in, as always. I am here to talk about Shari's Berries. They are giant, freshly dipped in chocolate strawberries, okay? And they start at $19.99, okay? And you can get over 40% savings or double the berries for just $10 more. All you need is my code, Callen, C-A-L-L-E-N, C-A-L-L-E-N, for your order. And I'll tell you how to do that in a second. But here's the bottom line. There are two things that are never bad for you. You can talk to any nutritionist in the world. Chocolate and berries. Put them together, and I'm talking about you can get white chocolate, you can get milk chocolate, you can get dark chocolate, you can get swirls, you can get nuts on them. I just ate one because they didn't want me to sell their product without me testing it. They literally were like, we want him to eat the berries first. We want to eat, so that he believes in the product. That says a lot about a company. And I got to be honest, I'm very happy to say that they were delicious. I was going to take just one bite because, I'm not into, I'm like, I don't want any more, I don't know sugar for me. And then I finished the whole thing. So this is how you get it. Here's where you get an amazing Valentine's Day deal, okay? Giant, freshly dipped in chocolate strawberries starting at $19.99, okay? Or you can get double the berries for just $10 more. All you have to do is visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in Callen, C-A-L-L-E-N, and you will get a great deal. Offer ends on Thursday, so hurry. What's amazing is that no doctor will tell you that.
Some of them will. It's changing. There's these integrative and functional medicine doctors. I have a list of these kind of doctors on the Bulletproof site now, like Bulletproof Physicians, who will flat out tell you, eat 70% fat, use Bulletproof coffee or whatever else. That's not why they're on there. They don't have to recommend
stuff. No, but I know what you're saying. I'm glad you have those guys on. I will say, Dave, I've had a lot of different people on. You know your stuff. I really appreciate how detailed you are and scientific about it, because most people you talk to have this secondhand information and they're talking in general terms, and you're very specific about and very thorough. And it's obviously a result of a great deal of effort and a lot of investigation. You've read a lot of the primary
self-investigation too, obviously.
The drive to survive will do that to you. I was pretty sick and pretty fat, and when my brain started to turn off as a result of these kinds of autoimmunity things, I'm like, you know what? I think the most important thing I can do with my life right now is this, and that's what I did, and it's let me help a lot more people than I ever would have hoped.
Well, insulin, isn't that the mother hormone? Isn't that the hormone we want to keep at a low level? Don't we want to eat a slow carb diet, as Tim Ferriss would say?
Slow carbs are a reaction to high glycemic carbs. What if you just ate a low carb diet instead of slow? So I ate according to the glycemic index, like in the late 90s, the zone diet and things like that were really promoted for that. carbs still cause problems with your metabolism, and you know, this low carb diet. And I think, by the way, you know, For Our Body and Tim Ferriss, wonderful work, and he's turned on a whole bunch of people to like how much control they have over their health. So you know, no hate there at all. Like I'm a huge Tim Ferriss fan. I just would say though, like beans are not necessary. So the effect on insulin of beans is still higher than the effect of say fat or meat. Right. So I'm not saying only eat fat and meat. I'm saying eat a ton of vegetables, like more vegetables than a lot of vegetarians eat, like 9 servings a day, 13 servings a day.
As long as they're cooked.
Yeah. And vegetables exist to absorb butter. Right. So you need to have that fat. You don't even feel good.
You just
vegetables.
Made my dad really happy.
So when you cook with butter, it's not bad for you.
If you burn the butter, it's still bad for you. Any fat, when you oxidize it, your liver, your whole body is like, what do I do with this? I've never encountered this from an evolutionary perspective except the last few hundred years. So what I tend to do is cook with very minimum amounts of butter or coconut oil, ideally with some water, okay. So the temperature doesn't rise too much. And then at the end of the cooking, you add the fat to get the flavor in. So it's essentially like you would make Chinese food. They always add a bunch of water when they're doing a stir fry, and you just don't want to use the liquid oil that you find at a typical Chinese restaurant. Right. You want to add the right saturated fats because they hold up best under heat.
Berries, fan of berries, blueberries?
I am a fan of berries. The trick with berries, and this is so critical, if you go to like a big box store and you have like the generic bag of berries, the reason they're so cheap is not because they bought so many of them. It's because they quality grade the berries. And the moldier they are and the less fresh they are, the cheaper they get. So if you're going to go for berries.
Organic, $6 small thing.
Unfortunately, that's the case. So many times I've tried these big, you know, $6 for a pound. They always mess me up. And granted, I'm a canary, but if they mess me up, I can test those toxins that are in there. I know what's in them. But like blueberries raise BDNF, the brain-derived neurotrophic factor. If you want to learn more easily, you want to raise BDNF levels. So blueberries are good, but they also have fructose. So if you're going to like do what the raw vegans do and they get like a bucket and a funnel and they just like eat like you know, 2 pounds of them.
Yeah.
That's not going to work because you're going to get too much fructose. But I use blueberries quite often. I just don't have more than 25 grams worth of fructose. So I can eat a cup or two of them and it doesn't really matter.
Bananas?
Not
too
fan.
Too sugary.
Yeah.
I love that, the protein shake. I put orange juice, a banana.
Oh, that's crazy.
You know, it's like Robex juice or one of those juicy. I mean, it's literally sugar.
It's like 100 grams of sugar.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you're, no, it's healthy. I'm getting this and then that.
And vitamin C.
Yeah, dude, you're just spiking.
My Minute Maid.
Your pancreas is shooting out as much insulin. Even like the coffee that you get at Starbucks, when I see these women, who are like, I'll get a triple low-fat latte, caramel smoothie. You know, it's like you're just taking in sugar and bad milk and, you know, and moldy coffee. Good job with that.
Yeah, I won't call out Starbucks. They're selling, you know, similar coffee to every other big coffee store out there because it's the way the coffee industry is set up. So we can't fairly pick on them.
Yeah, but Chock Full of Nuts is good, right? I drink Chock Full of Nuts.
Intravenously, yeah.
Yeah, it's the heavenly coffee.
Well, Chock Full of Nuts, the name itself, Dunkin' Donuts has done an amazing job with their coffee because what they do is I think they have a medium roast and they just pump it full of cream. So you're drinking cream. And it's like ice. Yeah. It's like hot ice cream. That was a good marketing. They do the cream themselves. So what they say is you want cream in it, and they just jam that thick, heavy cream in there.
Wow.
And all of a sudden you go, this is great coffee. No, it's not.
I'm sorry. The cream. With enough heavy cream, urine tastes good.
Sure. That's right.
That's what Jimmy was telling me before, and I haven't tried.
Look, that's still not wearing pants. And he's got a catheter. This is so creepy. The hell are you guys doing? He's biohacking your dong.
He is.
What do you think about hormone replacement therapy? I know so many pro athletes. It is a fact of life when you're an athlete to do something, whether it's manipulating your insulin, but certainly human growth hormone and testosterone.
If you're over 30 and you haven't tested your hormone levels, you're really not paying attention.
I'm 47. I haven't done it. I feel good, but I need to do it, don't I?
It's not about how you feel. It's that wouldn't you like to have the hormone levels of a 30-year-old?
Well, provided that doesn't lead to other metabolic issues. In other words, maybe there's a reason, biologically that at 47 my testosterone is lower.
Oh, yeah. There's a great reason. So you'll die and get out of the way for the next generation. I respect that.
So you're a fan of testosterone. you're a fan of hormone replacement therapy.
I am. I mean, I've been very involved in the anti-aging movement. This Silicon Valley Health Institute stuff, like there's such a body of knowledge out there.
And is Ray Kurzweil there every single day?
No, he actually doesn't show up. He's I think he's involved with Singularity University as well.
Yeah.
I haven't announced this, but I just got invited to be an adjunct professor at the Singularity University.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Really stoked.
Yeah,
they're a really cool group.
What is your degree in, Dave? I mean,
my degree is in computer information systems, and I have an MBA. I'm a hacker. I worked in computer security. I'm the first guy to ever do e-commerce. Like, I'm a computer tech geek from Silicon Valley. And I just applied all that stuff to my body. I had to.
Yeah, I thought you were kind of using that, hacking your body. I thought you were just using technical terms because it's a better way to market it. But actually, you're using those terms because those are your terms. That's your language.
Until 32 days ago, I was a vice president at one of the largest computer security firms on earth.
Wow. There you go, my friend.
There you go.
There you go. Now. Explain to me, so you are a fan of hormone replacement therapy. Keep them at a certain level.
Yeah.
Are we at a point, though, where we are very good at that, at doing that? And what is next?
There are a lot of doctors now who are proficient at prescribing hormones the right way. These need to be bioidentical. And I've been on testosterone since I was 30. And there's a reason for this. And I'm very open about it. I write about it on the blog.
You look fantastic for 70, by the way.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah. That's wild, though.
Jesus, I'm getting on them.
So, when I was 30, I'd been obese. I'd lost a lot of the weight. And I went in to see an anti-aging doctor for the first time. Like, what should we do here? And we looked. My testosterone was just in the shitter. Like, it was really low. And my estrogen was sky high. Mm. Funny, when you're obese, you turn testosterone into estrogen very efficiently. So I added testosterone back in. It's a cream I put in my armpit. And you know what? I have to admit this. I shave my armpits, not because I want to be sexy, but because it's gross to put like sticky cream on
hair.
But
it is sexy. Keep going.
There you go.
Hot.
Yeah.
So when you do that, then your testosterone goes up. But then my body's really good at making estrogen because I was fat. I have all those cells from that time. So I take an estrogen blocker. At least I did for a long time.
Right.
And I switched to a natural way of doing it by just removing extra estrogen through a liver detox pathway with something called calcium D-glucarate. And occasionally I'll take something called Arimidex that also helps to block the formation of this estrogen.
Yeah.
And then I test my testosterone levels every 6 months or about every year. And I keep them in like the upper, like around 75% between mid-range and max.
What's the number? Give us the number.
It's around 1,100, I believe, is the max. So mine tend to be around like 800, 900. My last test was actually low. It's surprising I look like this because I was like 495 on my last test, which is lower than it should be. It's because I was like traveling a lot. I didn't want to like carry testosterone through airports. I'm like, screw it, I'll just go off. There can be side effects, though. If you don't cycle testosterone, your balls shrink.
Wow.
And that's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I've announced this. That actually happened to me.
Love it. Love it.
So I
see what happens?
Tiny balls.
Trust us. Mm-hmm. He's in the bosom of the Brian Callen Show. So how about that name? How pretentious is my...
The bosom of the Brian Callen Show.
The Brian Callen Show.
I didn't know you had a bosom. That's kind of interesting.
I have a bosom. It's a spiritual bosom.
Can we upgrade your bosom?
And I hope so. you get me very excited for all this. What about human growth hormone?
I haven't tried it, but I'm thinking about it. My last test, now that I'm 41, my IGF levels were – IGF-1 levels are what you test as a marker
for – Insulin growth factor.
Yes, and that's essentially the easiest thing to measure to look at that. So instead of going on HGH, where I would do very, very small doses, I just want to bump myself up by about 20%. What I'm going to do is something called Semolex, if I remember it right, which is a prescription growth hormone releaser rather than actually taking growth hormone.
Right, Semolex, yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't tried it before. I'm waiting to get my prescription filled, but I'm going to do that for a little while. I also, not so long ago, I did 2 cycles of HCG, which is the cure for shrunken balls, because honestly, I didn't cycle off of testosterone for a long time because I forgot I was supposed years ago.
Your wang is already so big that, I mean, to have, now that your balls are shrunk, it just is too
scary.
It makes
it look even bigger.
It was liberating to carry less weight.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. What is that? What about gene doping? How far away are we from all this stuff?
I'm pretty skeptical of gene doping. I know it will work eventually. I'm not sure I'd want to do it now. There's so many other cool things you can do. Like, you can go to Germany and they'll take all the blood out of your body and clean it. And then they'll give you a baggie of the crap they took out of your blood. And like, people feel amazing and their performance goes way up when you can do that sort of thing. There are definitely stem cell therapies, which are really cool. But I'm a little scared of some of the gene doping things. Just like GMO corn is like screwing stuff up royally, I don't think we need to hack our genes.
Yeah.
We need to hack our environment, which has a direct epigenetic effect on gene expression. So, like, why go to change the code of the genes when you could change the code of what controls the firewall that's around the genes? And the firewall is epigenetics. It's, you know, what do you eat? What do you think?
There's myostatin inhibitors and all that. I just wonder if, you know, cloning is something that I wonder how far away we are from cloning tissue. So if you want to clone more muscle or build your own organs and things like that, I guess.
Well, they're growing, you know, ears on the backs of mice, and they have been for 10 plus years.
It's crazy.
So wouldn't be surprised if there's some mad scientist in a lab somewhere who's already cloning people or very close to it. We're not going to hear about it. They're not going to tell anyone because it's so illegal. It doesn't mean they won't do it. It's just like drugs are illegal, but amazingly, we somehow still do those.
Yeah, exactly.
So I kind of
in the meantime.
Yeah.
But I like your approach because you're advocating for basically tweaking certain things that are already available.
It's like this. Would you throw away your computer if you hadn't overclocked it and upgraded the RAM and all that first just to get a new one? And we're talking about fundamental changes and upgrades there that are unnecessary until you've optimized the system you have. It's wasteful to just, change my genes because I'm lazy. It's like, well, no, maybe you just eat more butter and that'll cause changes in epigenetic expression. Your stress levels will go down. You'll perform better. You'll have more energy.
So funny how more butter, which was always considered the thing that was unhealthy for you and now is actually healthy for
you. And, you know,
my
dad is 80. He plays basketball 3 days a week.
Wow.
Full court. Lives right next door to me in a 5-story walk up in Manhattan, and just married his girlfriend who's 30 years younger than him, and his favorite food is butter.
Yeah, there you go.
And I keep telling him, Dad, you got to cut down on the butter. He goes, why? I love it. It's great. He's not fat. His cholesterol is not
Dave
high.
Dave Asprey will tell you that that's one of the reasons
he's
so healthy.
And he's been eating butter. I cut out butter years ago. I mean, I have other healthy oils that I take in, but I do miss my Kerrygold, I have to be honest with you.
What kind of hair does your dad have?
He's like me. He's bald.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah. He's bald.
Exactly.
I'm the only guy with hair in my family. Like all my grandfathers, my dad, they're all bald. And I'm starting to show a little bit here, but not so bad.
You're good. Is there anything not to eat besides sugar?
Margarine. Any of those, like canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, vegetable oil.
The fakes.
Bad news.
All those things, like our bodies didn't evolve to digest those. Plant oils, these omega-6 oils, they cause inflammation in the body. And plant-based omega-3s, they're not necessarily bad for you, but if you think those are going to substitute for fish oil, it takes 45 grams of plant omega-3s to make 1 gram of the equivalent in the body if your metabolism can do that. Too much omega-3 is inflammatory. That's why on the Bulletproof Diet, when you get more precise, not only do 50 to 70% of your calories come from healthy fats, at least half your calories have to be saturated or it doesn't work. If you eat like only fish oil for your calories, your health will just melt down. So some fish oil is good. Too much is bad. And I actually...
Do you take fish oil?
I take krill oil instead.
Krill oil.
Krill oil is better. It's more sustainable. And also, krill has astaxanthin, and krill oil is phosphorylated, which means your brain can use it directly without your metabolism having to process it a certain way
first.
Do
you have that available on the Bulletproof Executive?
I don't sell krill oil. There are lots of companies that do that. And I'm tempted to like put together all the recommendations in a big pack, but really I want to focus my energy and like we're like a scrappy little tiny startup. So you can only like do so many things with what you have. So I'm trying to make things that you can't get anywhere else, things that are unique and have a really strong effect, like the glutathione and things like that.
Great. Well, Dave Asprey, we appreciate you joining us, man. It's always a learning experience. I love it.
Terrific, Dave. Thank you so much.
I think I've just cured my psoriasis forever now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of stuff I always get crazy comments whenever I have somebody like yourself on who you've already got a big web presence, but it's I actually think you're really helping people.
Brian, I appreciate your show. Jimmy, thanks, man.
Great meeting
this is
you,
about
Dave.
Helping people and this knowledge. Wasn't everyone know this stuff? Like, why didn't I know this when I was 16? I'd have been so much less miserable for a lot of
life. I think about that all the time, brother. But here we are. And
you're
that's
on a mission, my friend.
One of the things I try to do with this podcast is literally, you know, that's what it's about. It's just getting people to, just trying to inspire people. Like
think.
Getting
you're
information.
Helping them. Getting people to think, Brian.
Yeah. Thanks to Dave Asprey, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, everybody, just so you know, if you like to laugh, and only if you like to laugh, I'll be at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City starting February 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And then I'll be in San Francisco at the Punchline, Dave.
Nice.
And you're coming to my show. February 28th, 29th, and the 1st of March.
I might be there.
Dude, you got to come to a show. Yeah. I promise I will make it.
I'll be at the Gotham in New York, and I'll be giving out butter.
Thank you. You'll be giving out butter.
So if you come to see Brian, I'll be giving out butter.
And we will be giving everybody a butter bath.
Thank you.
Jimmy Burke has got, he's got long perverted fingers, and he'll rub all you down. In fact, he's going to do that for me and Dave Asprey right now. Dave has no hair on his body. I do have hair on my body. And butter and hair don't mix. It attracts flies. But what are you going to do? Thanks for joining us, man. See you later, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callen Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.